I guess we didn't get a countdown this morning. Okay, so good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we can join together and pray, learn more about you, and so lead our hearts and our minds in your way. Be our shepherd, O Lord. We love you, and we praise your name always and forever.
Amen, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler. This is part of the Robert Schuler Ministries, coming to you live 8 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday mornings. And anyway, we're always happy to be with you. And this is the first Sunday of the new year, 2024. Gosh. Sure. Whoa. Wow, we're getting old.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild and bumpy ride in 24.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Oh, wow.
And the like. And so
it's
exciting to see what's going on and to live during this time. Not to be fearful. You don't need to fear. No fear. God is in control. He knows exactly what he's doing. So we have nothing to fear.
Faithful, not fearful.
Right on. Right on.
I kind of know something about that ministry.
Yeah. About fearlessness. Fearless.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So Donna's had her group and that she's led for a long time called Fearless Women.
Almost 4 years.
It has been 4 years. And out of that came her book, Fearless Women, Transforming Your Negative Emotions into Positive Realities. And that's what we want. We want to see the positive hopes and dreams and goals we have for ourselves, our family, our society, our culture, and the world all come true. And that happens as we face our fears. And she does that through tremendous process of sharing stories and the like.
So, thank you. Thank you. And he let me speak for him last Sunday. So I talked about New Year's vision and stretching yourself wide, and based on Isaiah 54:2. So you need to start thinking about what you want to see happen in your life for 2024.
So I just put since we were talking about your book, I just threw it up there. And
Amazon. Went away.
That's because I took
it up. Good. Amazon. I was like, sorry. Amazon.com. That's the only way you can get it. I don't stock it. And anything you order anytime you order this book, Fearless Women by Donna Schuler, 100% of the money goes right into our ministry account. So you're doing yourself a favor, and you're also helping to build the kingdom of God. So thank you for buying it.
Yeah. So do you want to read your scripture now?
Sure. Sounds good.
Let me look. Mm-hmm.
So Robert has chosen selected verses from Luke 3. John the Baptist went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much that it was written thousands of years before his birth that he would be coming, that he would be a savior, that people, some people would recognize him, many others would not. Lord, help us to recognize Jesus today. Help him, help us to put him at the center of our life so that we can know that when fears come up, only Jesus can help squelch those terrible, terrible fears. And Lord, help us to seek him daily and sometimes hourly and many times, minute by minute, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for peace. Thank you for this new year where we have a chance to start over again. And Lord, thank you for reminding us that every day, whether it's New Year's, whether it's January, whether it's June, whether it's July, August, or September, any time of the year, we have the power and the ability to start over because of you, because of what you did on the cross. We love you, Jesus. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So we were in Florida for several days with two of our different families, with our daughter, Christina, her husband, Chad, and her three children. They moved to Florida a year ago. You've heard us say that. And then Anthony, her little baby brother, our 36-year-old, and his wife. Yeah, he was our doctor, is our doctor when we see him.
Yeah.
But he lives in Utah now. He and his wife and his two little girls. He's got a baby and another three-year-old, both girls. And they flew out. So we were with them a long time. We were there, I think, 10 days. My son, Anthony, took some time off work between Christmas and New Year's. But have a little bit of a cold because when you're, first of all, going out into my son-in-law, Chad's so funny. He's from, you know, he's from South Africa and Great Britain. And he always says, oh, yeah. He calls me D or D sticks. And he says, hey, D sticks.
D sticks?
Oh, that's what he calls me. D sticks.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's just a nickname, you know? So he calls me D sticks. He says, D sticks, you know, you're here with these viruses from South America and Latin America. America, because the whole island where they live in Key Biscayne, which is right off Miami, is just filled with international people. It's very exciting. It's very cool. They live in a resort town. It looks like a resort town, but actually it's a very family-oriented town with some people there at resorts. But anyway, so we got a little cold. No big deal. It's just literally a cold. So funny. So I sound a little funny. I feel terrific. And it's great to be back with you here. And we're back in Southern California as of last night.
Well, today is the first day of Epiphany.
Yes.
What people fail to realize is that the 12 days of Christmas begins on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. So you add the 12 days up and it ends on January 6th. So when are you supposed to take your Christmas decorations down?
Today.
Yesterday or today?
So, oh, yeah, today's the 7th. The 6th.
Today's the 7th. So you can
still have some of ours up because we were gone. We left on the 27th.
Well, we started yesterday.
We did.
And that's why the mantle is no longer decorated with Christmas things.
That was last night. Poured all down. And he helped me.
Yeah. And
but it is. Epiphany is important.
So Epiphany is just what the word means. It is aha. It's an experience. It is wow. And so I'm going to be talking about that a little bit later in our message. I just want to let people know that this is the first day of Epiphany, and it goes on for a few months. And so I'm going to start a series on the I Ams of Jesus.
Love that.
And what that means is Jesus throughout the book of John says, I am. And then he says who that is. And so he identifies himself. So
he's many things.
So through, yeah, he's all many things. Yeah. So I think we have some announcements to make.
Well, we already talked about my book that kind of came out naturally, as is best. And let's see, what are some of our announcements? The big deal is that if you live in the area, you need to get to church by 10:30 a.m. We're now starting at 10:30 a.m. and it's an hour service, and it's wonderful, and you'll meet some of the best people you've ever met. For those of you that don't know, we started an in-person church. It started as a drive-in when in March of 2020. Many of you remember what happened. All of you should remember. March of 2020, and in Southern California anyway, 99.9% of all churches closed down. And basically my husband, Pastor Robert here, was appalled. I'm going to use the word appalled. And we were both appalled that, are you joking right now? People need church more than ever. Everybody's scared to death. And of course, we believe it was part of the plan. Close down the churches, leave open the bars, leave open the strip clubs, leave open the liquor stores so people can get more and more into addictions and not seek God and actually the fellowship of other Christians, because you can seek God anywhere. But so anyway, we started a church in March of 2020. It started as a drive-in because the only place we could meet was in a parking lot. And now we continue to meet because, I don't know, we thought we were doing it for 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and that went on and on and on and on and on in California a couple of years. And now here we are in 2024, almost 4 years later. And so you can imagine the group, the core group of people that we have, that have the courage and the fearlessness to really not just wonder about the virus and should they go out, should they stay in and wear double and triple masks and eyepieces, face guard, I mean, everything. But should they disobey the law, which the law said you got to close down all buildings, all businesses. So we disobeyed and we followed the law of God. And because of that, again,
we did and we didn't. By meeting in the drive-in, we didn't violate the law. Right?
We didn't. I don't know. We thought we were going to get arrested one day. So why was that?
Well, because in spite of the law being separation and not meeting, as it,
and by the way, it was never a law. Cars. By the way, we don't want to go down that. Well, that's a whole complicated issue. My point is, come to church because the people that are there are the most
really cool people,
amazing people you'll ever meet. Devout Christians, they fear God, and they don't fear other things. They're very realistic. So anyway. Love you all. I'm going to go hop up.
Well, yeah.
And you have, we have
the offering.
That's pretty.
You want to talk about the offering a minute?
Sure. This is a church and we take an offering. So there's a few ways you can do that. You can go, Robert will put up what our Venmo looks like. What are you going
to
do?
Yep. I'm waiting for it to cooperate here. It's really running slow today.
So I haven't used it.
Keep talking about why people want to.
You want to give because, yes, of course, the church needs it. We have overhead. We have very little overhead. We have no employees. We have a lot of great volunteers. But you want to give not only because the church needs it. In fact, that's not the main reason. You want to give because you want to show God and you want to prove to yourself and anything that might be coming your way that your money is not the most important thing in life. It is not. Money is a tool. And money in the hands of good people can do wonderful things. Money in the hands of bad people can do terrible things. But you want to be able to prove to God and prove to yourself that, hey, this money is just a tool. And it comes and it goes. And it's not mine to begin with. So why not give some of it away? And you will not believe what you'll get back in return. Is it always monetary? Absolutely not. Is it sometimes monetary? Yes, it is.
Because is it often monetary?
Often,
yes,
often,
it is.
Often it is. But I know this for sure. 100% of the time, you will be blessed in ways you can't even imagine. Just know that. And so whatever you prayerfully decide to give to this ministry, we would really appreciate it. And more than that, it'll do you a lot of good. If you don't give to this ministry, please give to a Christian church that believes in the triune God, that believes in freedom over fear, and that tells the truth about society, tells the truth based on biblical truth. And so please support someone, please, a church. Anyway, we love you all.
Okay, so if you want to support this ministry, you can go to Venmo and give that way. You can also go to our website and click on the I'd Like to Give button.
What's the website?
And the website is DRSCHULLER. I spell that out because
closed captioning
will not do it right. It's drschuler.org. At the bottom of that page, you'll see our mailing address at 26 Canyon Island Drive if you want to mail a check. So there are several ways to support this ministry. And if you wish to try another method, let us know.
Venmo? Oh, did we always?
Yeah, I mentioned we've mentioned Venmo a couple times.
Sorry.
So anyway, we want to thank you in advance for your contributions. You know, so yeah, why don't I
you can go take
on
over
with our
now.
Message?
Okay. Talk to you later. And remember, the 15th of the month is coming up. Is it coming up before church next Sunday? Yes.
No, next Sunday is the 14th.
But the 15th.
It'll be next Monday.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So there are a couple announcements. One other announcement I wanted to make, but it kind of fits in with the whole topic of Epiphany. You know, Epiphany is a new revelation, a new understanding, something that you didn't understand before, which kind of makes you say, oh, that's why, or, oh, I get it now, or, aha. For me, one of the greatest aha moments of my life is when I learned to read. You say, what do you mean, learn to read? I graduated from high school without knowing how to read. I learned how to read in college through Greek. I barely passed my first semester of Greek. My second semester of Greek, my professor said, what are you doing here? You're not prepared for that. I said, listen, I'm going to seminary, and I have to learn this stuff. And he goes, well, the only way you're going to learn that is if I tutor you. And so he tutored me through Greek. And he asked me to read the Bible in Greek, and I was reading the Bible. And goes, you can't read it like that. And then he read it, and all of a sudden I could hear it, and it clicked. And I said, I wonder if I'm supposed to read English the same way. And that was my aha experience, where suddenly the scales of my eyes fell, and I was able to comprehend reading. Prior to that, my comprehension skills in reading was next to none. Maybe 5% max. So that's what we mean by an aha experience. That's the definition of an epiphany, where suddenly you have this realization, you have this understanding, and you just go, oh, because there's so many questions you have, and you can't even, and so often you don't even know you have those questions. You just know it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like you're getting the complete message. And in the last 4 years, we've been getting so much from our media that our mainline media that we really have a hard time understanding what's going on because they're not giving us the full picture anymore. That started when Obama, and his one of his last things he did is he amended the Smith-Monk Act, which allows them to be able to form the narrative that they want. And since then, media, the mainline media, has had the freedom to basically do what they want. Meanwhile, our government agencies are basically coming in and telling all the media what they want. And that is true with several things. I'm bringing all this up because yesterday was January 6th. And January 6th, in my book, has always been the last day of Christmas, the 12th day of Christmas. The end of Christmas, but since 2020, the narrative is January 6th. You mentioned that date. Everyone immediately thinks of the events that took place in Washington, D.C. in January 6th of 2020. And if all you ever hear is the mainline media narrative, you don't have a complete picture. And if you want a complete picture, there's two documentaries I would encourage you to see, but what it's just part one and part two. The first one is called The Real Story of January 6th. It was compiled by the Epoch Times. That's E-P-O-C-H. You'll see it there underneath January 6th on the flag, an Epoch Times documentary. And if you go to epochtimes.org, or if you have any trouble finding it, get out. You have to go to DuckDuckGo search engine because there is a lot of pressure on the media. And in addition to Google does not want to support Epoch Times, but Josh Phillips, who the guy with the young man with the dark hair, helped put this documentary together. And the guy on the right that you see there is I forget what department he is, but he's a law officer and an investigator. And he worked with them looking at all the different tapes and looking at all the information and just have a different side of the story of January 6th. And I just feel it's important for us to get the whole story, not just the story that our mainline media today wants to give us. So last night, I've seen this one, and it's very enlightening. You will have a few ahas. You will have an epiphany. The second here is real story of January 6th. It's part two, The Long Road Home. And I haven't had a chance to see this one yet, but I suspect it'll be excellent as well. And the fact that we have both of these back to back is really encouraging. And it helps document more than one side of the story as far as the events of January 6th. I bring that up again because today is the first day of Epiphany. And Epiphany is all about having some understanding and some realization of what's going on in our lives. Another epiphany I had in my life was the epiphany that our FDA and the CDC is not interested in your health and wellness. I had that revelation when my son, that revelation started actually in the 80s when I saw the development and the marketing plan that the pharmaceutical companies had for Lipitor, your statin drugs, and I saw how they lowered the rating for healthy cholesterol in order to sell more drugs because they weren't selling enough Lipitor with the old marketing, so and the old scale as far as what's healthy cholesterol levels. So that's when it started, and it was a revelation that I had an aha experience that these agencies are not doing their job. They've been captured by, they've been captured by our pharmaceutical giants, which are for-profit corporations, period. That's what they are. They are corporations that are there not to produce drugs, to produce healthier people. That's not their mission statement. Their mission statement is to enhance the shares of their investors, to make money. And we have to remember that as individuals, when your doctor gives you a drug, that drug was designed by the pharmaceutical industries for profit, not for your health. That's a long story. But if you want to find more information about that, you can read my book. It's available on Amazon. It's called Possibility Living: Add Years to Your Life and Life to Your Years with God's Health Plan. And it is still available on Amazon. You'll probably have to buy a used copy because it's out of print. But anyway, it might give you an epiphany. The greatest epiphany of all that you can have in your lifetime is the epiphany and the understanding that, number one, that God is real. That what you have been told, if you went to college and high school in the last 20 years, you've been told that there is no such thing as God. You don't hear anything about Jesus or Christmas. You don't hear anything about the reality of the spiritual world. The epiphany you'll have is that God is real. God exists. He presented himself to Moses in a burning bush, and Moses came to this burning bush and said, "What is your name?" And he said, "I am. I exist." Not past tense, not future tense, but present tense. And I bring that up because today I'm starting a new series, or actually I'm introducing a new series that I'm going to be going through for the next few weeks on the I Ams of Jesus. Throughout the book of John, Jesus says several different times who he is. Prior to the start of Epiphany, in other words, through Christmas and through the Christmas season, we hear the angels of God telling us who Jesus is. We hear John the Baptist telling us who Jesus is. But then Jesus starts his ministry, and then Jesus starts to tell us who he is. And so we're going to spend 9 weeks talking about the I Am statements of Jesus. The first one is Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Let me get my notes here because I won't remember all of them. I'll forget one for sure. He begins by saying, I am the bread of life. And as you'll notice, he is making a reference specifically. When he says, I am, well, that is the name of God. That's what God told Moses. Who am I? I am, he said. Jesus is saying, I am. And then he's saying the bread of life, which suddenly, what do we think of when we think of the bread of life in relation to Jesus? And in the Bible, we think of Holy Communion. We think of the Passover. We think of the children in the wilderness for 40 years being given manna from heaven, the bread of life. But then you can have bread that doesn't have much life in it, but Jesus's bread has enormous life. I am the bread of life. We'll talk about that next week. We'll get into greater detail. Then he says in John 8, he says, I am the light of the world. He brings light into your life. Here's another understanding of Epiphany. You're in a dark room. You can't see the hands in front of your face. Suddenly somebody strikes a match. And that, that little match gives out enough light where suddenly you can see and say, oh, I know where I am. And you suddenly have a realization of how to move and how to go and how to be. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Then he says, I am the sheepfold, the gate of the sheepfold. What does that mean? The way sheepfolds used to be designed is they're basically a cave, and a sheepfold is where they keep the sheep. At night, a shepherd has a certain place he's going to keep the sheep. Typically, it's a cave so that there's only one way in, and they build a wall in front of this cave. And instead of having a door like we're used to in the Western world, where you put hinges on, what would happen is the shepherd himself would lay in the doorway, and the shepherd himself becomes the door. And that's what Jesus is saying. He is the door. I am the door of the sheepfold. Then he says, I am the good shepherd. He leads us. He guides us. Later he says, I am the resurrection. He is the way, the truth. I am the way. And he says, I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the true vine. So you see his I am statements beginning with the bread of life and ending with the vine. And it reminds us of the Holy Communion that we take and we participate in as we go through life. He is the bread, begins with his statements, I am the bread of life, and he ends with, I am the true vine. And the true vines were those that would produce fruit, like the grapefruit from which you develop the wine or the grape juice. And so Jesus is, first of all, God. He makes it very clear that in his statements, I am. And because of his statements, that's why they wanted to, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish leaders wanted him dead. He was blaspheming. He was claiming to be God. And that was punishable by death. They had to crucify him. Then at the same time, he goes through and he shares how he fulfills all of the prophecies of law, being the Messiah. He is, he was, always will be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And so he comes as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. He enters the world on Christmas Day, and on Epiphany today, he starts his ministry to give us aha experiences that we've never had before. And so that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be taking a careful look at every single one of these statements of Jesus and integrating them into our hearts, opening our minds, and coming to the realization that Jesus truly was, is, always has been, an extension of God into human flesh. He came into this world to save us from our sins, to resurrect our hopes and our dreams, to give us light that we might be able to see the reality of his love for us. He is the truth. It's hard for us today. You know, I started talking about trying to figure out how to understand truth. But the truth is that only thing that we know is true is the words of God. And so we focus on those and we realize that these words from Jesus will give us the direction and the guidance, the hope and the faith we need to travel through this wilderness until we come to be with God forever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who cares. You're a God who sent his only Son into the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so we thank you for this amazing gift, the gift of Jesus. And so as we examine his life, and we see how he just continues to instill within us his words of power and strength and goodness, we pray that we will embrace those words, integrate them into our minds and our souls, our lives, our daily habits, our families, and may it truly shape us into the people you've intended us to be. So we love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. And you're lying down and you're rising up, you're laboring in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen. God is blessing you, everybody. Go with him.